Greetings and blessings from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God definitely intervenes in the affairs of the world, doesn't he? Consider, if you will, from Genesis through the book of Revelation, our Lord has shown his grace, mercy, and his might. God is sovereign. Why, Psalm 93 verse 1 says, "The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved." And then comes along the prophet Jeremiah. And he said, "The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly." You know, many of you, I'm sure, have sat back and thought to yourself, "Why doesn't God help me?" I think we've all done that a time or two, maybe. We've wondered when the intervention of the Lord would happen to stop maybe an aggressor coming after us, or calm a violent storm, or cure some awful illness. Nothing happens that God does not ordain, cause, or allow. We're constantly surrounded by divine intervention, even when we are ignorant of it or blind to it. We'll never know all the times and all the ways that God intervenes for us in our lives each day. Divine intervention can come in the form of a miracle, such as healing the disease or even a supernatural sign. Divine intervention can also come in the form of a seemingly random event which directs us to go in the way that God has desired us to go. We spoke together just a few moments ago, words from the Psalm 1, where each of us, you know, believers, that we're just like a tree that the Lord himself planted by a nice stream, and we yield fruit, good fruit, as well we should. We're to be living and doing that which our Lord commands us to do. You know, stuff like not speaking ill of anybody else, not swearing, standing up for the morals, values, and a life of righteousness that Jesus has taught us since we were very young. We're not to kill one another, and we're to stop being sexually immoral and become upright. Yeah, you know, stuff like that. Good fruit. But what happens to that tree which doesn't bear good fruit, huh? Scripture clearly and explicitly states that tree will be cut down and thrown into the fire. But oh, where's God's divine intervention to enable you to walk and live as he commands, huh? When's he going to help? Well, you can't know. You know, follow his law as he wants you to. It's impossible. The truth seemingly isn't in you, is it? To really, really confess that you are such a poor, miserable sinner. To bask in the glory of the sweet gospel oftentimes really seems foreign to you. And the absolute truth is, the Lord has already intervened in your life to make you good. You are indeed able to provide and yield fruit for the Lord. Good fruit. Maybe that's why you've come to church today, huh? To be reassured that you are forgiven of your shortfalls and missteps, that you can, you really can and will truly do good for the Lord, especially to yield fruit in season, such as telling others of the glory of the Lord, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be an example for others to follow. Recently, a good friend of mine gave me this little token. It's in my pocket right now. And it has a little saying on it. It says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And though I'm no more important than any of you, I stand no higher in status than any of you. Matter of fact, chief of sinners though I be, the words on this little token have become words I say daily. Matter of fact, a couple of times a day I speak that I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. But it's also especially important that I remember these words of our Lord when it comes to caring for other people as we're called to do. What on earth could I do to bring another lost soul to the kingdom of God, to yield some fruit for the Lord, that kind of stuff? And then I think, what about me? Me. 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 Then this morning I also hear the word of the Lord read where Jesus talks about salt, whether it's of any good use anymore after losing its effectiveness. It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. And oh, by the way, we are referred to in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, by Jesus himself as being the salt of the earth. Yeah. So now I'm a barely yielding tree and I'm losing my saltiness. And so I come to church. Our Lord has certainly promised to you and me, he's promised us grace, mercy, and peace, that peace which surpasses all human understanding. It is here for you and me. I can't understand how someone can't feel and embrace the love God has for them. Yet those kind of people do exist. Those who swear there's no peace or relief either in this life or even confess that there's a life to come. And then there's those who will swear they live a good and righteous life apart from anything to do with some God or Jesus or church. They got nothing spiritual or religious going on. Some even will profess a piety greater than anybody, outweighing even yours, because they simply think that they know so much more than you. What an empty, worthless being that must be. And yet, they seek, too, some divine intervention, and then, after they've seen it, they believe. Let's go back a little bit to the psalm that we read today. That about that man who walks in the way of the Lord, is said to be like a tree planted by a nice stream, yielding its fruit in season, and its leaves never wither. All that happening in and around that man, it's awesome, it's very mighty. You are just such that person. You, my dear friends, you have been given a wonderfully bountiful, blessed beginning that is in your baptism The Lord has laid out all over you and in you marvelous good things, delightful things. For one, he has rescued you from sin, death, and the devil, provided you the forgiveness of your sins, and he has graciously given you eternal life. Those are no small provisions. Pretty mighty indeed they are. And we do what with all that God has given us? What do we do with it? Well, our youth have learned quite well from us adults that after confirmation, they can quit coming to church. And I'm not harping about that. It's just a reality. Our communities have pushed prayer and the Ten Commandments out of every visible corner of our lives. We can't pray in school anymore. Can't have a Bible. Can't have the Ten Commandments in the public square. We've even sought solace by dumping down the drain little infants, which otherwise would have created a despicable interruption in our peaceful, sexually polluted life, and we call it a choice. Our evangelism programs these days, whatever they're called, there's many out there right now. They're trying to instill within folks just like you to go out and do your duty to share the love of Christ with total strangers. That it's not something else or something that someone else should go out and do to yield fruit for the Lord. It's a duty that you have. Now, let me invite you to hear again the words of St. Paul, what he said in his letter to Philemon. He said, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Doesn't that sound really nice? It is very nice. It's not just how the Apostle Paul feels about you. It's how God feels about you. It's how I feel about each and every one of you. And it's how you ought to feel about yourself and one another. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To love one another and to care for one another is what Jesus Christ has come to teach. And your salvation has thus been secured, not by any doing of yours, but by Christ's atonement upon the cross. You've been given freely the love of God, your Father in heaven, so give as you've been given. And when you freely give as he has given unto you, your faith will not wither, nor will your steadfastness, for the promises of our Lord lose any of its effectiveness. So there's a peace. A peace which intervenes and endures into life everlasting. A peace that comes from him, your Lord. A peace not from within yourself. A peace divinely given you from above, so that you, my friends, may bear good fruit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We gather our